Glory to God. Appreciate our youth choir and their faithfulness. Our musicians and Sister Tricia and all the hard work that they put in. Appreciate them tonight. I have a burden on my heart tonight. And sometimes when I say that, it means I'm going to preach long. But I don't feel like we're going to head in that direction tonight as far as right now. But we'll see. I want to say we're glad to have Brother Michael Fortner here. He's from Denton, Texas, correct? And his grandmother lives here and actually attends Brother Snow's church there and visiting. So glad to have him here tonight. Glad to have Megan and Madison's friend here with us tonight. Glad to have you here and appreciate her being here tonight. Amen. Glad you're here. Pray the word of the Lord will be illuminated in our lives. And I'm not going to have you stand tonight for the reading of the word. I've got a little bit of scripture to read. And when we get to the main text, we'll see about it then. The book of Judges, chapter 2. Book of Judges, chapter 2, and verse 1 is where we're going to start. I want to remind everyone, this Sunday morning, we'll have morning service. And then we'll have a church dinner following the morning service. And everybody said amen. Or at least all the men. Hallelujah. And then Sunday evening is our Sunday school program. Always a wonderful time, wonderful memories. And that evening we will have the Sunday school class program, and then that night we'll be having a play also. And they've worked hard, and we're excited to see that. I want to remind everyone, though, you can invite folks. It's okay. In fact, we encourage it. And so, you know, maybe you've got a neighbor or a coworker or a friend, a relative that hasn't been to church in a while, and maybe they're reluctant to come and or whatever. I tell you, the gospel is going to be preached on Sunday night, okay? And the Lord is able to use the way he's using tonight through a sermon, but I believe the Lord is able to get his word out there. And so we're praying that through the play, the Lord will get a hold of somebody and minister to life. So invite someone out. Young people, invite your friends out. You know, Christmas break is going to come up here soon, and then you're going to miss everybody. You might as well just invite them to church so you can hang out with them, right? All right. Praise the Lord. Judges chapter 2, book of Judges chapter 2 and verse 1. The Bible said, "And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim, and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt, and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you." Hallelujah. The Lord's faithful. Amen. "And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice." And the Lord just flat out asked him, "Why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it shall come to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim. They sacrificed there unto the Lord. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord." And this is where we're really going to get into the crux of the sermon tonight. "And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua." And the people served the Lord all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. These are the same elders who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the mountain of Ephraim, and on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation, were gathered unto their fathers, or that generation died, is what it's saying. Let's just English this up a little bit. They all died. That age group, that generation, the ones that Brother Carr had seen the miracles of God, Joshua, and we know that those who were his age or younger were the only ones that the Lord allowed into Canaan's land, and they were the only ones that Sister Norma, in fact, even saw the promise of God. But the Bible says clearly here in verse 10, that generation has passed on. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods. Of the gods of the people that were what? Round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Tonight I want to preach on today's generation equals today's church. You know, for so long we heard this saying, first in my generation, it was Generation X, the rebels, the ones who caused problems. And they always said in every youth camp, and I honestly, it really aggravated me. Today's generation is the church of tomorrow. Where is that in Scripture? As far as I know, when I became a believer, no matter what my age was, I joined a church. And it wasn't just a physical building or a gathering of individuals. I joined a body. It didn't just encompass Dayton, Ohio. That body, it extends around the world. When I became a Christian, I became part of the kingdom of God, the church. Hallelujah. What I am convinced of is this, though. We are living in a day where I am afraid those who have experienced the glories of God, I've heard my whole life. I so wanted my grandma to be here, but I understand it's hard for her to get out at night. And when it's this cold, it's even worse. But as I pondered upon this message, I thought about the stories that even grandma has told. You know, she was one of the first ones in our family to get saved, and the Lord began to minister through Aunt Zella and God ministered through Aunt Shirley and even through Grandma, and it just spread, and now we have grandmother's children are saved, and her grandchildren, that includes me, are saved, and now we're getting great grandchildren involved. And I thought about Brother Brock. You know, here tonight we have four generations in this house right now that are in the church. Hallelujah. Brother Brock has started a heritage that is passed down and indirectly to his son-in-law, who has raised his children, Brother Aaron, in the house of the Lord, who is now raising his children in the house of the Lord. And as I begin to think about this story, though, the Lord, if you read in the book of Judges, the chapter previous to this, the Lord is divvying out the inheritance. Hallelujah. The Lord's promised us some stuff tonight. And He didn't just promise it to my grandmother. He didn't just promise it to my grandparents in Arkansas. The Lord has promised us an inheritance tonight that doesn't stop when a generation passes. That inheritance passes on and is gifted down to the next generation. The problem is, though, we have seen a generation rise. And I think about men like Brother L.O. Collins and Brother Calicott and Brother Huff, men who I admire, who have paved a trail. Men like Brother Back, who has already passed on. who did things in this world that I can only imagine. They are the ones who went behind the Cold War lines and were smuggling Bibles in their clothing. And they're the ones who snuck into communist countries and preached the gospel. They're the ones who started small churches in the hills of Arkansas, in the hills of Tennessee. And by those small churches, miracles after miracles happened, and revivals were started, and families were changed, and destinies were altered. And I think about that generation, and I think about all the things they went to. That's the World War II generation. They weren't just ministers on the front lines in a spiritual war. They were men that stood on a real battlefield. They defended everything. They stood for their country. They stood for their families. These are real men. I look upon them and I wonder, has that generation come and gone? You see, and I look upon the generation of our parents. We're entering now into the baby boomers. And do we have any baby boomers in here tonight? Hallelujah. Our whole economy right now is built and being grafted upon the baby boomers. Everything's changing. Let's go to my generation. I still don't know what we are. Help us, Lord. Go to grad school. There are thousands of documented reports of individuals who have doctorate degrees working at fast food restaurants. That's my generation. Where are we? But you see, now, when I was a younger individual, all I thought about was my youth. But sadly enough, my youthful age is leaving me. We have a whole new generation here. I looked upon them tonight and thought, oh Lord, thank you. Thank you for this generation. This is one of the saddest portions of Scripture I believe you can read in the whole account of Scripture. Jesus, he's still Jesus, but the Lord recorded that he had done all of these works and ministered in ways that nations surrounding Israel feared their name, that they would come through their city meant ultimate destruction. The Lord was paving a path. God was making the way possible. And now it comes to a time where the Bible said that a generation arose after those that had seen God at work, those who had seen the hand of the Lord ministering and altering things, changing lives, establishing a kingdom. And now the Bible says there arose a generation that did not know God. Not only did they not know God, but they didn't even know His works. Somehow, we've lost something. But let's transfer that. We're not living in the Bible days. We're not living in Canaan right now. We're in the middle of Trotwood, Ohio. But I still think the story applies. Stay with me tonight, young people. The story still applies. There have been those who are older, and even some in this room tonight, you have paved a path. And my generation has walked upon a path that we did not labor for. I'm standing in the middle of a building that I had no hand in building. I'm using, right now I'm using electricity, and that money is paid for by men and women in years past who faithfully tithed. Men and women who were faithful to the ministry, who loved the Lord. I serve in a church and amongst a body of people whose foundation for the last 50, 60, 70 years has been outreach and ministry. This is nothing new. Brother Brad, I'm just allowed to be a part of it. We are literally right now sitting in an environment that was not paved by my hands or by the hands of this generation, but by those who came before us, who loved God and had a vision for what God would accomplish, not only in their day, but in the days to come, that God would establish a kingdom. But listen, church, just because we had no part in the beginning of the foundation does not mean that today's generation is not as vital as to what it was in the beginning. I dare say that those who laid the path before us saw that this generation would come, that there would be a day that God was going to want to reach out for somebody that maybe didn't know who he was. Do you know, even in the church today, the Barna Research Group released a report just last week, and an overwhelming majority of youth, college age, and those in the church, the number and the figure was astronomical, and I cannot remember the specific number, but I want to say it was in the 80th percentile of those who had no basic concepts of the theology that their church taught. I'm not even talking about the deep things of God. I'm talking about the basic of basic. Things like our pastor preached Sunday morning about a virgin birth. Hallelujah. Come on, church. 80% of the American youth in the church world today does not know God. We have established a God. We might have put a title or a name upon it. But if you do not know the works of God, if you do not understand the character of the God that you serve, then you do not know God. You see, there's still only one God. Hallelujah. There's still only one true and living God. And when I became a Christian, I knew it from the time that I accepted Christ into my heart. Can you say amen? You knew it. When I got saved, I was immediately transformed. Hallelujah. Nobody had to tell me I was a Christian. I knew God had done something in my heart. Hallelujah. It saddens me, though, that we can say now that we live in a day. There's a generation that has risen. We have seen God move. And listen, I know sometimes we preach preemptively. We preach out of reaction instead of out of vision. But tonight I'd like to do both, if it's okay. I just take one stone and we'll get rid of both those birds at the same time. I want to preach reactionary to the point of this. Grandma and Grandpa, we still need you to get a hold of the hand of your children and lead them to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Grandma and Grandpa, elderly saints, oh, how Brother Brian loves you tonight. And I hope you know that, and I think you do. But more than ever, we need you right now in this hour to get a hold of God in prayer, praying for your grandchildren, praying for your children. It's time that we get our hearts and our minds and our focus back upon the inheritance that God established for his people. Listen, Joshua knew that he had an inheritance, and nothing came in his way. The Bible said that the children of Israel served God all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that were with Joshua and lived after him. Why? Those were the ones that knew God. They were the ones that had seen God at work. They're the ones that experienced revival. They're the ones that saw the tent meeting. They're the ones that saw the camp meeting. I was interpreting the other day, and I don't know how it comes up, but it always comes up. My pastorate and where I pastor comes up inevitably, and this individual said, "What denomination are you?" I said, "I'm Pentecostal." That's a P with a jump, just to let you know. I didn't make the sign up. But this is what shocked me next. They said, "Oh, you mean a holy roller? You could have knocked me over with a feather." Why? Because I haven't experienced that. It's the first time in my life that anyone has ever asked me if I was a holy roller. That's not my generation. Church, it's time. Elderly saints, your time is not over with. And just because age has graced you does not mean it's time to get your pew, set it back, and say, "I'm done. I've paved my road, and I'm going to just coast on into heaven." We need you tonight. Brother Brian still needs you tonight. Hey, listen, I know that we talk about youth rallies and we talk about youth night and we're going to go laser tag and ice skating, and just the very thought of that makes your bones ache to their core. Oh, but you know what? You know what the thought of seeing you all shout does to Brother Brian? Sister Dirth, there's still times when I'm in prayer that I think about Sister Linderman on Sunday mornings. And oh, if I close my eyes, I can still see her shouting. And when I'm in the prayer room, there's still times that if I just stop, I can hear Brother Combs calling out every individual in this church and some that have passed on 10 years ago. Hey, he might not have thought about taking them off the prayer list, but I'd rather make sure he's still praying. Hallelujah. Listen, we've got an elderly generation that you need to know that you're still valuable and we still need you. Hallelujah. Hey, I've got a grandmother tonight. I know that she's praying for me and that does wonders for me. Grandma, Grandpa, if ever we've needed you, we need you now. Hallelujah. And now I want to go to Mom and Dad. Glory to God. I have one question of how this generation got to the place where the Bible said so specifically, they did not know God and they did not know His works. Brother Aaron, the question that came to my mind was this: where was Mom and Dad and why were they not telling them about what God had done for them in their own life? Hallelujah. Now listen, you know that we don't have children yet. Okay, so I'm not going to act like I'm a parent tonight and know what you go through. But I'm around your kids a whole lot more than some folks in this world. So if you'll let me just talk for you real quickly, I just want to talk to us about some things. When I hear our young people discussing things that they are watching, that they are texting, that they are listening to, the question that enters my mind and my heart is this: where is Mom and Dad in this hour? I'm not here to police. I am here to lead our kids the closest to God that I know how to. But Mom and Dad, we still need you. And you are the best parents that they're ever going to have. And you're the best parents that this world knows for your children. You know what they need. You're Mom and Dad. And we've got some of the best parents in this church that I know of. You support the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Honestly, when I talk to other youth pastors and they tell me some of the horror stories that happen, not with the kids, but with Mom and Dad, I want to hug you. I just love you. We'll go out for ice cream when it gets warmer, okay? I've got it good here as a youth pastor. I really do. Glory to God. Please keep me. Mom and Dad, your children need you in this hour, right now. Right now. And not, you know, the reactionary preaching, Brother Dale, is this. We preach on everything that we think our kids are going to see in public school, and we forget about what our kids are not seeing in the church. Oh, whoo. We preach on everything that we think they're going to see in the school system, but we refuse to talk about what we are not seeing in the church. Dad, it is time to worship. Dad, it is time to worship. It is time to lead your family in prayer. It is time, Dad, to get your kids in order and say, listen, I am the dad in this home. You're not going to talk like that. You're not going to watch that. You're not going to listen. It's still okay. Listen, it's still okay. You can do it. I believe in you, and so does God, and that means more than me believing in you. You are the Father, and it's time that we lead our families to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Mom, all your children need you right now. They need you to tell them the stories of the Bible. We need you to tell them and pray for them. Some of the greatest memories that I have of my mom that I reflect on, and it's amazing how stuff comes to your mind now, is the days that I would walk by her room and hear her calling my name out in prayer. And not only for me, there are so many days I heard my mom praying for my future wife. Think about that. She had no idea who Sister Sarah was, but she believed that there was a God in heaven who had a plan, and she was calling out her name, even though she didn't know. Mom and Dad, it is time right now that we begin to lead our children Not so much that we're afraid of what they're going to see in the world. It's time to establish the church. Hallelujah. When I think about the greatest memories that I've had in this sanctuary, it's not been really what I've been doing, but it's what I've seen others doing in the service. Don't be afraid, Mom, to worship. Don't be afraid to shout. Don't be afraid to dance. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid to lead your children. Mom and Dad, you're doing a great job. Let's do it together. Let's keep it up. Hallelujah. Your children need you. Now, I don't believe, and please don't walk away from this service saying that I'm criticizing you as a parent or as a grandparent. You are doing a great job. And I love every one of you, and I'm supporting you. But I'm convinced of this. We need revival. We need revival in our youth group. Our young people, would, if they were honest, would tell you we need revival. We've got Wednesday night classes, and they're coming in right now, and they're beautiful. Hallelujah. They need to see us in revival. Brother Brad, Ethan needs to see us in revival. Hallelujah. Dawson and Carson, they need to see us in revival. Ethan and Stephen and every one of the rest of the Maggard basketball team, they need to see us in revival. Because we don't just have this generation, we've got that generation now. And we've got this generation. I want revival. The Bible said there arose up a generation that did not know God, and they immediately began to serve other gods. We're going to serve somebody. This is as basic as you can get. We are going to serve somebody. Young people, are you listening to me tonight? We are going to serve somebody. God made you for a reason. Young ladies, God made you for a reason. We have the most beautiful young ladies here, and I'm so thankful for you. God made you for a reason. I want to see you have revival. We were made to worship. We weren't made for boyfriends just yet. You got about 20 years to go, okay? I thought you'd be on board with that. Hallelujah. We were made for revival. You want to know how we get revival? We get hungry. If you're hungry, you'll eat. And it's all about what you're eating. And I'm learning that. Eat bad stuff, you get bad stuff. Eat good stuff, you get good stuff, which is not this, okay? But I'm learning. That's the difference. Young men, you are made by God to be leaders. And although right now you're not married yet, God is establishing right now what He wants to use you as a father, as a husband, and as a leader. Right now. Right now. So the choices that we make right now are going to determine what happens in the future. Why can we say that? Because if the mom and dad of the generation that was passed had have allowed God to establish in them a home that was holy and pure before God, then we would have never read the account of a generation rising up that did not know God. If you'll decide right now that your children are going to serve the Lord, it is inevitable you will serve the Lord. Because if you will do anything in your power for your future children that are not even here yet, you will do anything to get a hold of God. Does that make sense tonight? I mean, am I off base here? If we will establish in our hearts as youth that our future is going to be according to God's word, then we as youth will live according to God's word. And I'm going to close with this, and if the music would come. It says in the first chapter of Judges, though, when Joshua was establishing or giving out the inheritance, it said something very amazing, and we read it in the first part of chapter 2. The Lord said, I made a pact with you, I made a deal with you, a promise, and the Lord is good about His promises. He said, if you'll serve me, love me, and believe me, I'll never forsake you. I will never turn away from you. He never said it was not going to be hard. He never said we wouldn't have trouble, but he said if we'll stick with him, serve him, and love him, he would never forsake us. And what did they do? Two or three of them did. Two or three of them stayed. You had Judah and even some other ones that served God. But if you read chapter 1, this is what it says. And Benjamin did not kick out, get rid of, whatever lingo you want to use, did not get rid of the inhabitants and lived with them. And Ephraim did not get rid of the inhabitants and lived with them. And it goes on down the list of every tribe in Israel. What would have happened if grandma and grandpa and mom and dad, even before we've got babies involved, if grandma and grandpa would have taken out the sword and said, hey, I'm not fighting for me. I'm fighting for my future grandchildren. Hallelujah. What would have happened if mom and dad, who had not yet had children of their own, said, I'm not kicking them out for me. I'm kicking them out because I know I want a godly family. Well, listen, that didn't happen just like that. But here's the redemptive power of Jesus Christ. We're not in that time. We're right now. You know what happens if you don't have a family, if you don't come from a family that doesn't serve God? You know what the greatest part about Jesus Christ is? He starts the lineage right there. Hallelujah. Grandma's family didn't serve God. They didn't know God. They're a bunch of heathens. God said, that's all right. I got a heritage I want to give you. And when he called out Barbara Helfenstein, he wasn't just calling her out. He was calling out Brian McKelvey and his future children. Because the heritage is not just for us. And if we as young people will get this cemented in our hearts, this Christian life is not about us. It's about the world around us. And it's about those who are going to come after us. And what we do for God is going to affect every part of it. I told Brandy the other night on our way to Hope House, do you realize, Brandy, that God may have used the ladies in this church to reach out to Barbara Helfenstein and her sisters and her family and save Barbara's children and save Barbara's grandchildren so that 40 or 50 years later, a girl by the name of Brandy Clark would come into Union Road and God would use one of them to reach out to her. Do you realize that right now in the world, God has ordained your salvation and called you to minister to someone and they don't even know who you are yet? But he had a plan. Hallelujah. My goal tonight is this. We refuse in this church as a collective, from eldest to youngest, we come together and as a body, we refuse to ever allow that sentence to come to fruition. Hallelujah. I interpreted in a courtroom setting yesterday, which is rather filled with pressure. I had to swear under oath. Now, I've never had to do that before. And that just added a whole nother layer of pressure. But I raised my right hand and I swore to testify and to interpret and under the best accuracy and according to the law that I would be completely honest in everything that I said. And I do solemnly swear. At baby dedications, we do this as a church. We say, we promise to lead them and guide them, whatever we can. Church, it's okay to rededicate ourselves. We've got some children in here tonight. They don't come from godly homes. And they're doing everything that they can to live for God. I'm so proud of them. Some of the lives that our kids face every day, I'm so proud of them. I have to rededicate myself all over. Say, God, don't ever let that be said of our church. that there arose a generation that ever could say, we didn't even hear about the stories of God. I'm dedicating myself tonight. Is there any grandparent tonight that would say, I'm dedicating myself all over again to my grandchildren, to my children? Is there anyone? Are there any parents here tonight that would say, I'm going to dedicate myself all over again so that no one can ever say my children never heard? Young people, I'm going to ask you to do something that's really hard because it's difficult for us to look into the future. We're right now kind of folks. Would you dedicate yourself to the Lord all over again tonight so that your future children will know Christ? Think about that. Lena, right now God is preparing a man in this world for you. Are you 14 yet? 13? Okay. So you got a little ways to go. That's just Lord's giving you time to beat some stuff out of that guy and mold him and shape him. But right now, God has a man that he's preparing for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Grant, the Lord is preparing a young lady for you. Right now. Right now. Whitney, there's going to be a man out there that is going to love you. He's going to lead you in the things of God. You're going to have a home that is so holy if you'll stick with God. I'm not preaching heresy tonight, church. This is God's promise. We're talking about inheritance now. Hallelujah. It's just time to reclaim it. It's time as young people we make that our desire again. They did not stop till they got their inheritance. But what they should have done is not just prepared for when they received their inheritance. They should have prepared for a lifetime of passing that inheritance on. Tonight, will we stand across the house? Father, help us. Over the Thanksgiving holiday, I went cave diving, spelunking with my brother-in-laws. They're a bunch of freaks. They're wild men, and I'm not so much that way. In fact, I have extreme claustrophobia. I don't like tight spaces. But I wanted some man points, Brother Vance, so I went cave diving. Because I figured if I didn't go, I'd never hear the end of it. Don't act like that ain't true. It's the truth. All right? It's strategic. That's all right. I'm able to admit it. We went cave diving. The entrance to the cave is the diameter, and they actually just extended this, and I'll get to that in a little bit, but the entrance to the cave is a 5 to 6 foot dive in a hole the size of a trash can lid. 50-gallon, you know, trash can lid that you put out by the curb. But you got to dive down about 5 or 6 feet under a mountain wall, and then you got to crawl 2,000 feet on your belly. The height on that crawl is a little over a foot, maybe. Maybe. I'm being evangelistic right there. We had hard hats, lights, LED lights. We brought in glow sticks. It looked like glow in the dark all over again. I was not going into a hole without knowing I was getting out of that hole. I don't care how manly you think you are. If you can't get out, that's on you. I was getting out. But we went in there, and that first crawl, I told myself when I got up to that hole, how many of you remember my sermon, Good Brian, Bad Kevin? Anybody remember that? I went in as Kevin. I didn't go in as Brian. I left Brian in the car. Alter ego Kevin came out, and I was going in there. So I dove in that hole. And as I'm crawling, my heart is beating faster and faster with every foot. We got to about 2,000 feet, and there's an opening. You can get on your knees. Okay? You can sit on your knees. And my heart is beating, and I look over at my brother-in-law, Joe, and it's his fault that I'm there anyway. Because he wasn't supposed to go, and he thought I was going, so he agreed to go anyway. He said, "You okay?" I said, "Yeah, I'm fine. Just give me a second." Claustrophobia. He said, "You know what? You're going to be fine. We know the way." My brother-in-law, Jesse, who is a man among men, he probably is a cave dweller. I'm not sure. It's possible that he is the missing link. We haven't defined that yet. Jesse's been in that cave several times, though. And before we went in, Jesse established a plan. He said, "We're going to go in a straight line. This cave is where the National Guard of Indiana trains for spelunking, just to let you know. We did sign an insurance waiver. If we died, the government is not responsible." Jesse said, we're not playing here today. If we go in there, we're going in there with a mindset that everybody comes out. And that was making me feel good, because I wanted to come out. He said, "You're going to go first. You're going to go second. These are two that had already been there before." And he said, "And then we're going to have in the middle those who haven't been there yet. And in the back, we're going to have the rest of those who've been here before. So that at no point while we're in this cave will there ever be a feeling that we are lost or that we're separated. At no point while we're here are you going to feel like you have no way to get out." I was feeling a lot better at this point. You see, when I started to have those feelings where I was overwhelmed, all I had to do was look in front of me, and they've already been here. They know the way. And then I really couldn't look back, but I could hear them. Because if I stop crawling, they're going to run into me. They know the way. You know what that was? That was a barrier. And short term, that was a barrier. There is no way I'm going to get lost if I stick with them or them. Right now, what we need is for Grandma and Grandpa to get on one end, Mom and Dad to get on the other end, and shield our kids like never before. We need to shout again. We need to shout. It's time to worship. That's okay. We need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray. And not just lead our kids through the dark place, lead them to the light and be the light. And you know what? Today, young person, you may not have a grandma and grandpa here, a mom and dad that serve the Lord. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm behind you. Pastor Hurst is leading the whole thing. And you may not be able to look at mom and dad or grandma and grandpa, but I'm going to do my best to hold this thing up. And so I'm going to promise you, I'm going to keep my light on. And I'm going to keep that path lit. And we're going to make it. And we're going to go deeper than we've ever went before. I want revival, church. That's about as flat as I can get to it. I want revival. And it's time that we don't put it on the young people to come back fired up from youth camp and ride their experience for a few weeks. It's time we get a hold of revival like we were at youth camp again. How do we do that? We're not going out to Southern right now, but I can tell you a prayer room where we can go and pray, and we can tarry till the fire comes down, and we can get around our kids and lead them. Let's all come. Let's all come. Oh, I just want to be full of the Lord to lead our kids. I want to seek revival like I've not sought for it in a while. Oh, I want to see God move. It's time. It's time for revival. It's time to get them in a place where God can minister to them. It's the will of the Lord for us to have a church that is thriving. Hallelujah. Grandma and Grandpa, I need you tonight.